Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin. Today we will be reading the following main articles. Supreme Court limits nationwide injunctions, birthright citizenship unclear. Federal grants at risk for Community College of Aurora, Hispanic-serving schools statewide. Remembering the life of Brian Vogue, and following up with miscellaneous articles. Sentinel. Supreme Court limits nationwide injunctions, birthright citizenship unclear. Colorado comment. Quote, whether a child is a citizen should not depend on the state where they're born, end quote. Colorado AG Phil Weiser. Written by Mark Sherman, Associated Press, June 27th, 2025. There are four ads associated with this article. The first ad, don't go it alone. Carpool and combined trips to reduce ground level ozone. Simple steps, betterair.org. Learn more. There is a picture of a car with a bunch of moose and deer and sheep hanging out the windows. The second ad, market in the park, the Aurora Highlands, Saturdays, July 5th and 19th. Learn more. There is a picture of fairgrounds with people and different things in the background. The third ad, looking for a fun, healthy, and positive summer activity for your child? Consider baton twirling camps offered through CCSD Mile High Sports Camps. Morning sessions at Cherry Creek High School, afternoon sessions at Eagle Crest High School. Scan QR for more info and to register. Mile High Sports Camps. The fourth ad, Centennial Muse. There is a list of different events that are coming up. Saturday the 28th, is your dog getting enough exercise for a healthy lifestyle? Moss, Denver, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, comprehensive cleanings and checkups in Verona, New Jersey for optimal oral health. Purvey Event Spaces, Broomfield, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, Metallica M72 World Tour 2-day ticket, Empower Field at Mile High, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, Emma Holst, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, Mamma Mia, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, Queer Fest, Town Hall, Denver, Colorado. Washington. A united conservative majority of the Supreme Court ruled Friday that federal judges lack the authority to grant nationwide injunctions, but the decision left unclear whether President Donald Trump's restrictions on birthright citizenship could soon take effect in parts of the country. The outcome represented a victory for Trump, who has complained about judges throwing up obstacles to his agenda. Nationwide or universal injunctions had emerged as an important check on the Republican president's efforts to expand executive power and remake the government and a source of mounting frustration to him and his allies. But the court left open the possibility that the birthright citizenship changes could remain blocked nationwide. Trump's order would deny citizenship to U.S.-born children of people who are in the country illegally or temporarily. The case is now returned to lower courts, where judges will have to decide how to tailor their orders to comply with the high court ruling, which was written by Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Enforcement of the policy can't take place for another 30 days, Barrett wrote. Even then, it's unclear whether the court's decision could produce a confusing patchwork of rules that might differ in the 22 states that sued over the Trump order and the rest of the country. Colorado comment. Governor Jared Polis, quote, this is a sad day. President Trump's unlawful executive order and this decision weakens our ability to preserve well-established constitutional rights, creating a patchwork where rights might be upheld in some states and rolled back in others. Colorado will continue fighting to defend our Constitution no matter who is in Washington, and these constant attacks on our constitutional rights will not go unnoticed. In Colorado, we will continue to expand rights and freedoms, not roll them back. I hope the voices of the constitutional defenders around the country speak up in the face of this dangerous decision. End quote. Colorado Democratic AG Phil Weiser. Quote, while the court did not rule on the birthright citizenship issue today, its decision to limit courts from issuing nationwide injunctions will spread chaos and create an unworkable patchwork of conflicting decisions in the judicial system. It is critical, for example, to have uniformity when it comes to citizenship. Whether a child is a citizen should not depend on the state where they're born. We'll keep fighting in the lower court to defend the 14th Amendment and the citizenship of those born in Colorado. The new limits on universal injunctions will not stop us from challenging the president or his administration when they overstep their authority and take illegal and dangerous actions that harm Coloradans. End quote. Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert, Republican, Windsor. Quote, thank you, SCOTUS. Today is a great day to be an American, end quote. The justices agreed with the Trump administration, as well as President Joe Biden's Democratic administration before it, that judges are overreaching by issuing orders that apply to everyone instead of just the parties before the court. Judges have issued more than 40 such orders since Trump took office for a second term in January. The administration has filed emergency appeals with the justices of many of those orders, including the ones on birthright citizenship. The court rarely hears arguments and issues major decisions on its emergency or shadow docket, but it did so in this case. Federal courts, Barrett wrote, quote, do not exercise general oversight of the executive branch. They resolve cases and controversies consistent with the authority Congress has given them. When a court concludes that the executive branch has acted unlawfully, the answer is not for the court to exceed its power to. End quote. The president, speaking in the White House briefing room, said that the decision was, quote, amazing, end quote, and a, quote, monumental victory for the Constitution, end quote, the separation of powers and the rule of law. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer of New York wrote on X that the decision is, quote, an unprecedented and terrifying step towards authoritarianism, a grave danger to our democracy, and a predictable move from this extremist MAGA court, end quote. Justice Sonia Sotomayor, writing in dissent for the three liberal justices, called the decision, quote, nothing less than an open invitation for the government to bypass the Constitution, end quote. This is so, Sotomayor said, because the administration may be able to enforce a policy even when it has been challenged and found to be unconstitutional by a lower court. The administration didn't even ask, as it has in the other cases, for the lower court rulings to be blocked completely, Sotomayor wrote, quote, to get such relief, the government would have to show that the order is likely constitutional, an impossible task, end quote, she wrote. But the ultimate fate of the changes Trump wants to make were not before the court, Barrett wrote, just the rules that would apply as the court cases continue. Rights groups that sued over the policy filed new court documents following the high court ruling, taking up a suggestion from Justice Brett Kavanaugh that judges may still be able to reach anyone potentially affected by the birthright citizenship order by declaring them part of, quote, punitive nationwide class, end quote. Kavanaugh was part of the court majority on Friday but wrote a separate concurring opinion. States that have also challenged the policy in court said they would try to show that the only way to effectively protect their interests was through a nationwide hold. Quote, we have every expectation we absolutely will be successful in keeping the 14th Amendment as the law of the land and, of course, birthright citizenship as well, end quote, said Attorney General Andrea Campbell of Massachusetts. Birthright citizenship automatically makes anyone born in the United States an American citizen, including children born to mothers in the country illegally. That right was enshrined soon after the Civil War in the Constitution's 14th Amendment. In a notable Supreme Court decision in 1898, United States v. Wong Kim Ark, the court held that the only children who did not automatically receive U.S. citizenship upon being born on U.S. soil were the children of diplomats who have allegiance to another government, enemies present in the U.S. during hostile occupation, those born on foreign ships, and those born to members of sovereign Native American tribes. The U.S. is among about 30 countries where birthright citizenship, the principle of jus soli, or, quote, right of the soil, end quote, is applied. Most are in the Americas, and Canada and Mexico are among them. Trump and his supporters have argued that there should be tougher standards for becoming an American citizen, which he called, quote, a priceless and profound gift, end quote, in the executive order he signed on his first day in office. The Trump administration has asserted that children of non-citizens are not, quote, subject to the jurisdiction, end quote, of the United States, a phrase used in the amendment, and therefore are not entitled to citizenship. But states, immigrants, and rights groups that have sued to block the executive order have accused the administration of trying to unsettle the broader understanding of birthright citizenship that has been accepted since the amendment's adoption. Judges have uniformly ruled against the administration. The Justice Department had argued that individual judges lacked the power to give nationwide effect to their rulings. The Trump administration instead wanted the justices to allow Trump's plan to go into effect for everyone except the handful of people and groups that sued. Failing that, the administration argued that the plan could remain blocked for now in the 22 states that sued. New Hampshire is covered by a separate order that is not an issue in this case. The justices also agreed that the administration may make public announcements about how it plans to carry out the policy if eventually it is allowed to take effect. Follow the AP's coverage of the U.S. Supreme Court at https://apnews.com/hub/US-Supreme-Court. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. File. The Supreme Court is seen on Capitol Hill in Washington, December 17, 2024. AP Photo, J. Scott Applewhite. File. Sentinel. Metro. Federal grants at risk for Community College of Aurora, Hispanic-serving schools statewide. Quote, at CCA, I was able to get a hang of what college was, end quote. Written by Delilah Broomer, Colorado Newsline, June 27th, 2025. There are four ads associated with this article. The first ad, don't go it alone. Carpool and combined trips to reduce ground level ozone. Simple steps, betterair.org. Learn more. There is a picture of a car with a bunch of moose and deer and sheep hanging out the windows. The second ad, Market in the Park, the Aurora Highlands, Saturdays, July 5th and 19th. Learn more. There's a picture of fairgrounds with people and different things in the background. The third ad, looking for a fun, healthy, and positive summer activity for your child? Consider baton twirling camps, offered through CCSD Mile High Sports Camps. Morning sessions at Cherry Creek High School, afternoon sessions at Eagle Crest High School. Scan QR for more info and to register. Mile High Sports Camps. The fourth ad, Centennial Muse. There's a list of different events that are coming up. Saturday the 28th, is your dog getting enough exercise for a healthy lifestyle? Moss, Denver, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, comprehensive cleanings and checkups in Verona, New Jersey for optimal oral health. Purvey Event Spaces, Broomfield, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, Metallica M72 World Tour 2-day ticket, Empower Field at Mile High, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, Emma Holst, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, Mamma Mia, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, Queer Fest, Town Hall, Denver, Colorado. This story was first published at Colorado Newsline. Aurora. The Community College of Aurora does not turn students away. It serves immigrants with limited English knowledge, Coloradoans experiencing homelessness, students pursuing careers in the trades, concurrently enrolled high schoolers, and students who are the first in their family to attend college. That mission of accessible education guides, Adriana Cordova, CCA's Academic Advising Director, in her work. A CCA graduate herself, Cordova knows what it's like to be nervous and at times lost in college. Quote, I'm a first-generation student, and I have migrated here in 2003 from Sonora, Mexico. The expectation was always for me to go to school, and it wasn't easy, end quote, said Cordova, who has graduated in 2017 and went on to earn bachelor's and master's degrees. Quote, at CCA, I was able to get a hang of what college was, end quote. Part of what has made CCA feel like home for Cordova is the diversity and welcoming environment she said she has experienced at the college. Some of the resources that support the CCA community, including peer instructors, college readiness programming, and faculty training workshops, are funded by the federal government through a $2.5 million grant distributed over 6 years. The college was eligible for the grant because it is federally designated Hispanic-serving institution, one of 16 in Colorado and 615 in the United States. But now federal grants for such institutions could be at risk. Colorado's Hispanic-serving institutions range from community colleges in the suburbs of Denver to regional public universities nestled up north in Greeley and south in Alamosa County along the Rio Grande. They vary in size and focus, but they'll all enroll at least 25% Hispanic students and serve a high proportion of low-income students. Federal lawsuit raises discrimination concerns. The federal Hispanic-serving institution designation is in the spotlight with a recently filed federal lawsuit in Tennessee that argues these programs unconstitutionally discriminate based on ethnicity. The lawsuit, filed by the state of Tennessee and that anti-affirmative action group, Students for Affairs Admissions, quote, is about ensuring that the opportunity is extended to everyone on an equal basis, end quote, according to a statement from Students for Affair Admissions. Students for Fair Admissions declined an interview request for this article, but referred to the written statement. The lawsuit argues that the Federal Department of Education's Hispanic-Serving Institution Program discriminates against institutions and students in Tennessee, a state that has no colleges with such designation. While many colleges in Tennessee serve low-income and Hispanic students, none meets the 25% threshold. Quote, a federal grant system that openly discriminates against students based on ethnicity isn't just wrong and un-American, it's unconstitutional, end quote, Tennessee Attorney General Jonathan Scrimeti said in a statement. The federal government awarded slightly more than $228 million to Hispanic-serving institutions in 2024, according to the U.S. Department of Education. Although the money goes specifically toward Hispanic-serving institutions, each institution must use its grants for programs and services that are open to all of its students, regardless of race or ethnicity. Gina Garcia, a professor at the University of California, Berkeley, studies higher education issues and has published extensive research on Hispanic-serving institutions. Garcia cautioned that a loss of these federal grants could be, quote, devastating, end quote, to the institutions, which typically use the money for student support and innovation. Quote, these are capacity-building grants, and what that means is that they do not allow you to give any of the funding or any of the opportunities specifically to one group, because the money goes to the institution to make the institution better, and so anything the institution does is going to be for every student, end quote, Garcia said. Safety and support for students. Juliana Mutaya graduated from the Metropolitan State University of Denver last month with a major in public health, two minors in biology and pre-healthcare, and a concentration in community health education. In the fall, the first-generation college student will pursue a master's in public health at the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus. Attending a Hispanic-serving institution allowed her to, quote, find safety and support as a Latina, end quote. Quote, I entered college with a million nerves about navigating the higher education system, end quote, Montoya said. Quote, I came in with my sister, who is 16 months older than me, and we were really trying to figure out who we are as individuals. She and my peers here have been a support for me, end quote. What most stood out to Montoya was taking a healthcare ethics class with a Latino professor who, quote, walked in with his marginalized identity as well as his background as a professional in the field, end quote. MSU, which has 16,500 total undergraduates, became a Hispanic-serving institution in 2019 after a 12-year process that focused on recruitment, retention, and data collection. In 2007, the university enrolled 13% Hispanic students. Now that number is 37%. Since becoming a Hispanic-serving institution, it has received $14 million in federal grants. Manuel Del Rio, MSU's Executive Director of Hispanic-Serving Institution, Initiatives, and Inclusion, said the designation has been helpful to, quote, communicate that we are here for our students, end quote. He emphasized that the grants are beneficial to all MSU students, whether they are Hispanic or not. Quote, if you were a student here and you had a teacher assistant in your class, you benefited from these grants, end quote, he said. Del Real said he is not focused on the ongoing federal lawsuit by students for fair admissions because, quote, even if the designation goes away, we are still going to stick to our mission and values, end quote. Quote, yes, we are thankful for getting these grants, end quote, Del Real said. Quote, but whatever happens, we are going to continue being an institution that's minority serving and that continues to serve all of our students, end quote. Achievement gaps persist. The federal Hispanic Serving Institution designation was created in 1992, stemming from concerns that Hispanic students were largely enrolled in colleges and universities with poor educational outcomes and low government funding. Between the years 2000 and 2020, Hispanic post-baccalaureate enrollment has tripled in the U.S., according to the Post-Secondary National Policy Institute. However, enrollment and degree completion gaps remain. In Colorado, the four-year graduation rate for Hispanic students is 44%, compared to 59% for white students, according to the nonprofit Excelencia in Education. These inequalities are why Hispanic-serving institution grants and designations matter, said Angela Marquez, the Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion and Chief of Staff at Community College of Aurora. Quote, we want to be culturally responsive and create a classroom environment that is optimal for the success of our Latino and Latina students and for the unique needs of all of our students, end quote, Marquez said. For Cordova, supporting students means connecting them with resources that span beyond academic support, including food assistance, counseling, and housing services. Quote, we don't just help them get signed up for classes, end quote, Cordova said. Quote, we ask, what's going on with work? What's going on with family? We want them to graduate, but we treat them like humans in the process, end quote. There are two pictures associated with this article. The first picture has the following description. Angela Marquez, who serves as the Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion and Chief of Staff at Community College of Aurora, stands in the college's administrative building on June 20th. Marquez oversees the college's Hispanic Serving Institution initiatives. Delilah Broomer, Colorado Newsline. The pictures of Angela with a bunch of different flags from different countries hanging in the background. The second picture has the following description. Adriana Cordova, who serves as the Director of Academic Advising at Community College of Aurora, stands in her office on June 20, 2025. Cordova is an alumna of the Colorado Community College and a first-generation college graduate. Delilah Broomer, Colorado Newsline. The picture is of Adriana standing with the shelf with a bunch of different items on it. Centennial. Metro. Anti-home rulers celebrate landslide ballot result in Douglas County. Quote, "This really reflects how the citizens felt about the way the whole process was handled and how the citizens were left out of the whole situation," end quote. Written by Colorado Community Media, June 25th, 2025. There are four ads associated with this article. The first ad, "Don't go it alone. Carpool and combine trips to reduce ground level ozone. Simple steps, betterair.org. Learn more." There is a picture of a car with a bunch of moose and deer and sheep hanging out the windows. The second ad, "Market in the Park, the Aurora Highlands, Saturdays, July 5th and 19th. Learn more." There is a picture of fairgrounds with people and different things in the background. The third ad, "Looking for a fun, healthy, and positive summer activity for your child? Consider baton twirling camps offered through CCSD Mile High Sports Camps. Morning sessions at Cherry Creek High School, afternoon sessions at Eagle Crest High School. Scan QR for more info and to register. Mile High Sports Camps." The fourth ad, "Centennial Muse. There's a list of different events that are coming up. Saturday the 28th, is your dog getting enough exercise for a healthy lifestyle? Moss Denver, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, comprehensive cleanings and checkups in Verona, New Jersey for optimal oral health. Purvey Event Spaces, Broomfield, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, Metallica M72 World Tour 2-day ticket, Empower Field at Mile High, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, Emma Holst, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, Mamma Mia, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 28th, Queer Fest, Town Hall, Denver, Colorado. This story was first published at Colorado Community News. Lone Tree. Douglas County voters overwhelmingly rejected the county's proposed home rule charter Tuesday night, with an initial result showing that 71% of ballots cast opposed the measure in the second round of returns. On one side of town, County Commissioners George Teal, Abe Layden, and Kevin Van Winkle addressed the media at a press conference in Castle Rock, acknowledging the defeat, even as they stood by their support for the change. About 3,000 people in Aurora live in the Douglas County of Aurora. Quote, "We heard from the people of Douglas County that this vote came too fast, that they needed more information and a more deliberate debate," end quote, Teal said. Quote, "I remain an ardent advocate of home rule and am committed to providing that debate to the people of Douglas County," end quote. Home rule would have allowed Douglas County to craft its own charter and operate with expanded local authority rather than remaining governed by powers explicitly granted under state statute. The commissioners called for the special election in late March to pursue the change, sparking months of debate over process, transparency, and the legal scope of local power. Roughly 10 miles away, in Lone Tree, the mood was far more celebratory. About 50 opponents of the measure, including candidates running for the Charter Commission, gathered for a watch party hosted by Stop the Power Grab, a group that formed in the response to the initiative. The room erupted in cheers as early results were announced. Quote, excited, ecstatic, amped up, absolutely pumped, end quote, and similar adjectives were all used to describe their sentiments after the initial vote count was announced. Several attendees told Colorado Community Media that they viewed the result as a statement on how the home rule process was handled. Quote, this really reflects how the citizens felt about the way this whole process was handled and how the citizens were left out of the whole situation, end quote, said one Lone Tree resident who identified as a lifelong Republican. Quote, this was definitely a top-down initiative by a handful of GOP leaders, and there was a huge silent group that really let their voices be spoken at the ballot, end quote. Angela Thomas, a candidate for the Charter Commission and former county commissioner candidate, said, quote, I feel like we have shown the Douglas County commissioners that the people have more of a voice than they want us to have, and that they need to begin to listen to the people, end quote. Representative Bob Marshall, Democrat, Highlands Ranch, a vocal opponent of the charter, called the result, quote, the biggest victory I've been involved in since I was in politics, end quote. Marshall added that the unity across Republican, unaffiliated, and Democratic voters on the issue indicated that the result was mostly about, quote, good governance and not about secrecy, transparency, end quote. Jenna Preston, a precinct organizer who helped mobilize opposition to the charter, said if the initiative was proposed with a year or two of public input and foresight, the prospect of home rule might have been, quote, exciting and interesting and exhausting work, end quote. Quote, but doing this behind closed doors and having no shame about it, end quote, Preston added, quote, I mean, people just can see right through that, end quote. As of 9 p.m., the unofficial tally stood at 71.43% voting no to form a charter commission. The official outcome will not be certified until July 8th, allowing time for military and overseas ballots to be received and counted. According to the county clerk, there are 2,584 active UOCAVA voters in Douglas County. This story was made available via Colorado Newsline Collaborative. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. Stop the Power Grab, an anti-home rule group, hosted a watch party in the city of Lone Tree where attendees eventually celebrated the initial special election results. Credit, Julia King. An edition of the Littleton Independent, Centennial Citizen Independent. Volume 24, Issue 30, Week of June 26, 2025. Remembering the Life of Brian Vogt, Centennial Founding Father, CEO of Denver Botanical Gardens, died after cancer battle. Written by Isabel Guzman, iGuzman at ColoradoCommunityMedia.com. Brian Vogt was anything but ordinary. From being elected class president every year at Littleton's Heritage High School, to helping form the city of Centennial in 2001, to becoming Denver Botanic Gardens CEO, Vogt lived a life of public service that went beyond expectations. Quote, we wouldn't be here today without Brian Vogt and the founding fathers of Centennial. Nearly three decades ago, Brian had the passion and fortitude to bring a new city to life, end quote, said the Centennial Mayor, Stephanie Pico, in a news release. Quote, Brian's legacy in Centennial will always be remembered. The impact on our community will live for centuries to come and is something his loved ones should be very proud of. Brian will be tremendously missed, end quote. Vogt, 66, died from complications of cancer in his esophagus on March 25th. Vogt's legacy kicked off at the age of four when his father, Roy Vogt, was elected Arapahoe County Sheriff in 1962 and the family settled in Littleton. Quote, Brian loved problem solving, learning new things, diverse people, culture, places, and ideas, a unified front in difficult challenges, a quality team of fun, smart, hard-working people that care, end quote, said one of Vogt's longtime best friends, former Arapaho County Commissioner John Brackney. Quote, day in and out, he did good work. He also loved just a good laugh and a camaraderie with friends, end quote. Brackney and Vogt were a partnership powerhouse that worked to achieve many things in Centennial, Littleton, and the broader Arapaho County. The first project the pair worked on was redeveloping and establishing Littleton's Municipal Courthouse on Littleton Boulevard, previously known as the Arapaho County Courthouse. When district courts moved to the Arapaho County Justice Center on the Potomac Street in 1987, the Littleton Courthouse sat vacant for nearly a decade until talk about what to do with the building started. The county considered repairing it, but eventually decided it was too expensive for a small space. Demolition was also considered. Yet, in 1998, county commissioners and the Littleton City Council worked together to reach an agreement in which the county deeded the property to the Littleton Municipal Building Authority. The courthouse was designated as a historic landmark that same year, and the restoration was completed and dedicated on May 13, 2000. Early life wins. After high school, Vogt attended the University of Colorado Boulder and earned a degree in classical antiquities in 1981. While in college, Vogt studied abroad for a year in Lancaster, England, where he met his lifelong friends that crossed international borders. During Ronald Reagan's presidency, Vogt worked closely with the administration, organizing events and learning about national governance and policy. When he returned to Colorado, he began working with the South Metro Denver Chamber of Commerce. During his 18 years with the chamber, he served four of its vice president for economic development and 14 as president. From 2004 through 2007, Vogt filled three cabinet positions for the state of Colorado, and he oversaw economic development activities such as domestic and international business development and small business programs. In 2006, Vogt worked with the state legislature to create an Advanced Colorado Center, which aims, quote, reverse radical policies that harm Colorado, end quote, according to its website, advancedcolorado.org. Vogt was also a member of the Governor's Commission on Science and Technology and served as the governor's representative on both the Colorado Economic Development Commission and the Financial Review Committee. He spent over a year as the acting Secretary of Technology and as Executive Director of the Colorado Department of Local Affairs, as well as serving on the Governor's Homeland Security and All Hazards Senior Advisory Committee. Forming Centennial. In the late 1990s, Vogt, along with Brackney, Ed Boiser, Randy Pye, and Pete Ross, began discussing forming a new city in then unincorporated Arapaho County. Together, they established a volunteer organization known as the Arapaho Citizens for Self-Determination and an Incorporation Steering Committee. In 1998, the group filed a petition in the district court requesting an election to put the incorporation of the city of Centennial on the ballot. Initially, the district court determined the petition was invalid. Then the volunteers corrected the petition and obtained more than 2,500 signatures on the revised petition, the Centennial petition. In 2000, voters approved the incorporation of the city of Centennial with 77% of the vote. Centennial was established on February 7, 2001, and Pye was elected as the first mayor. During Centennial's 20th anniversary in 2021, Vogt said, quote, the tears and sense of joy and pride and connection was palpable. It was the most connected I've ever felt to my country. It was the most joyful, patriotic moment, end quote. The final feat. In April 2007, Vogt was selected from a national search to become CEO of the Denver Botanical Gardens. Quote, Brian was an inspiration, end quote, said Jennifer Riley Chetwynd, the Garden's interim CEO, who worked with Vogue for 14 years. Quote, "He was the most positive individual I have ever met. There was never a glass half empty, glass half full interpretation from him on anything," end quote. Riley Chetwynd said Vogue's enthusiasm and positivity empowered the staff at the Botanic Gardens and encouraged the unprecedented growth of the gardens, ranging from employee development to building renovations. "Vogue never took full credit for these accomplishments," Brackney said, "but instead recognized that it was his staff's work that made it happen." Vogue's work at the Botanic Gardens was honored in March when he was introduced into the Colorado Tourism Hall of Fame. Quote, "Brian was an eternal optimist towards everything, individuals and their capability, the Denver Botanical Gardens and its potential, and even towards his sickness. He was never going to admit defeat," end quote, Riley Chetwynd said. His friends say he left behind multiple legacies of kindness, compassion, and positivity. Reflecting on his 30-year friendship with Vogue, Brackney said he learned maturity from Brian. Quote, "Knowing that the crisis right in front of you is likely not as bad as it appears, slow down to fully evaluate best steps and don't overreact, especially to people that are," end quote, he said. Brackney said that for those who didn't have good fortune to meet Vogue, he was, quote, "thoughtful, reflective, and wise," end quote. Quote, "He was a one percenter, more likely a 0.1 percenter, for terrific listening skills and to really understand what people were trying to accomplish by sharing a story with him," end quote, Brackney said. There are two pictures associated with this article. The first picture has the following description. Ryan Vogue's Celebration of Life ceremony took place at Denver Botanical Gardens on June 12th. Photo by Isabel Guzman. The picture is showing a bunch of plants with a picture of Brian with the following, "Guests of Brian Vogue's Celebration of Life." The second picture has the following description. Ryan Vogue, one of Centennial's founding fathers, died on March 25th, 2025, courtesy of Denver Botanical Gardens. It is a picture of Brian smiling at the camera while standing in a construction area. Englewood Police Offer Tips for a Safe Fourth. Written by Elizabeth Slay, eSlay at ColoradoCommunityMedia.com. As Independence Day approaches, the Englewood Police Department is urging people to celebrate responsibly and follow safety guidelines to ensure a safe and enjoyable holiday, both for themselves and their pets. Allison Stockford, a summer intern with the Englewood Police Department, shared a list of tips and reminders for people who are planning both at-home gatherings and those attending the city's professional fireworks show. Those planning to celebrate at home should be aware that the use of fireworks is strictly prohibited within Englewood city limits. The department emphasized that, quote, "In Colorado, most fireworks, including anything that shoots into the air or explodes, are illegal for personal use," end quote. Those celebrating outside of Englewood city limits should check with the local ordinances on where they should be and comply with them. The department also stressed the importance of exercising caution when using personal fireworks. Quote, "Always use proper judgment and discretion when handling personal 4th of July explosives," end quote, Stockford said. Stockford wanted to remind the community that there are serious risks associated with illegal fireworks. Quote, "Every year, illegal fireworks leads to fires, injuries, and extra strain on emergency crews and first responders," end quote, she said. As a safer alternative, Stockford encourages residents to skip personal fireworks altogether. Quote, "Choose to enjoy professional shows and encourage others to do the same," end quote, Stockford said. Englewood's professional fireworks show will once again take place at Cornerstone Park. However, due to ongoing construction, parking at the park will be extremely limited and possibly not available. Therefore, attendees are encouraged to carpool, use rideshare services, or bike to the event to reduce congestion. Additional regulations for the event include no pets except for service animals, no alcohol, no personal fireworks, and that attendees follow the city's park general rules and regulations. Pet safety is another important concern during the holiday, and Stockford said people should think about their animals. Quote, keep pets in safe and secure locations, end quote, Stockford said. Quote, many animals get spooked by loud noises like fireworks. Keep them in a spot where they have little risk of escaping, end quote. Stockford shared several other safety tips. Stay alert and aware of surroundings. Stick with the group and establish a meeting place in case anyone becomes separated. Watch for children, cyclists, and pedestrians while driving through the city. Use glow sticks, flashlights, or reflectors if outside after dark. Lock vehicles and secure belongings or leave them at home altogether. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. The Englewood Police Department offers tips for keeping people and their pets safe this July 4th. Photo by Elizabeth Slay. It is a picture of a dog that is running very fast. Garibaldi Eatery reopens after tax seizure. Owners took out personal loans to settle debt to city. Written by Elizabeth Slay. eSlay at ColoradoCommunityMedia.com. Garibaldi Mexican Bistro in Englewood reopened June 20th, just in time for the dinner rush after being seized by the city earlier this month due to unpaid sales tax. Jesus Cruz, one of the owners of Garibaldi, confirmed the reopening on June 20th, sharing a mixture of relief and gratitude. Quote, over this week, we were able to get in contact with the city of Englewood and we were able to work out payment to pretty much get back in there and get back in business, end quote, Cruz said. Quote, the city of Englewood was very forgiving and helpful with the situation, so we are very thankful to them for what they were able to work out with us so we could get back in business, end quote. Cruz, who co-owns the restaurant with his father, paid off the full tax debt, initially reported by the city to be about $70,000 through a series of personal loans. While a GoFundMe campaign raised about $2,100, Cruz made it clear he didn't want to be the burden of the debt to fall on the community. Quote, I knew that the GoFundMe wasn't going to pay for everything, end quote, Cruz said. Quote, a lot of people were commenting like, it's your fault for the taxes, which I understand. I never said it wasn't our fault. It was just the circumstances that we were in. It was either use every cent we got from the sales during COVID to pay my staff, bills, and rent, or close, end quote. Cruz said he takes full responsibility for the tax issues and that he understands people's frustration with the GoFundMe. Quote, I understand. That was something irresponsible that shouldn't have been done on my behalf. I did it. I regret it, end quote, Cruz said. The payment to the city was finalized the morning of June 20th. Quote, we went to the city at like 10:15 a.m., end quote, Cruz said. Quote, we made the final payment and received the keys. The city went in and removed the sign and they had placed on the doors and we got right to it, end quote. Cruz and his team immediately began deep cleaning the kitchen and disposing of spoiled food. He said the restaurant planned to serve dinner during the rush on June 20th and be back to normal business hours June 21st. The restaurant's schedule is Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and it's closed on Sundays. As for the GoFundMe, Cruz said it will be deactivated soon. Quote, my first goal was to get in here, get everything cleaned up, and keep going. But yes, that will be deactivated, end quote, Cruz said. Quote, the people that donated that were anonymous, we're going to thank them personally and do something special for them. And for those who donated anonymously, I hope they come forward because we'd be happy to do something special for them as well, end quote. Cruz said the reopening is not just a win for him and his family, but for the staff and customers as well. Quote, I'm feeling good, feeling happy and motivated to get back in here and serve the community again, end quote, he said. Quote, we had a lot of events scheduled that we had to cancel, so we're happy to come back and be able to serve the community again and get people working, end quote. With the debt to the city resolved and the business now relying on personal loans, Cruz said everything moving forward will be in his hands. Quote, everything's good with the city, everything's good with the state, end quote, Cruz said. Quote, we're just waiting on our personal loans, but that's just on mine, and that'll be separate. So that's different, end quote. Cruz said he appreciates the city's cooperation and the community's assistance. Quote, I just want to thank the city again for being understanding and helpful with our situation, which I understand came from our own mistakes, end quote, Cruz said. Quote, but it's something we are hoping is in the past, and we're staying in good standing with the city, end quote. City spokesman Chris Hargath said in an email to the Inglewood Herald on June 23rd that the, quote, city forgave a portion of the associated penalties and interest to help give the owners a fresh start, end quote. For more information on the restaurant, visit GaribaldiMexican.com. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. Garibaldi Mexican Bistro, located at 3298 B South Broadway, reopened June 20th after being seized earlier in June for back taxes owed to the city of Inglewood. Photo by Scott Gilbert. The picture is of Garibaldi Restaurant with its front door. Living out a childhood dream. A first-hand account of riding on a fire truck in Littleton Parade by Isabel Guzman. iGuzman at coloradocommunitymedia.com. This is what it must have been like to be Princess Diana, I thought on June 14th, as I looked out among the crowd lining Littleton Boulevard. That day, I got the opportunity to sit on top of a vintage fire truck during Littleton's fire truck parade and muster. From one hand, I snapped photos, while the other waved to the crowd like a princess. Starting right at 8:30 a.m., I pulled myself up on the fire truck's bed and sat on a sidebar, tucking my feet securely in the truck. I had to step on the water hose, which was oddly soft and rug-like. Ali Gouda, a firefighter with the Mile High Hook and Ladder Club, helped me make sure I didn't hold on to the shiny silver pole that holds on to the hose. Quote, it'll spin on you, end quote, she said. Gouda got ready to drive the truck, and she checked on me, asking if I was good to go. I gave her a thumbs up. Then the truck started. The engine roared and emitted stench exhaust, but it smelled like saving lives and heroism. The truck I was in is a 1965 Seagrave from Pratt, Kansas. Gouda adopted it in 2017. Dozens of fire trucks from Denver, Aurora, South Metro Fire Rescue, and many other places lined up to exit the parking lot at Arapahoe Community College. The parade was about to begin. My truck was fifth or sixth in line, and I could spot Smokey Bear a few trucks ahead of me. Before we descended down the parade route, the truck stopped at the staging area on South Delaware Street, where I took the opportunity to stand and relive my numbing legs. I wondered if the firefighters that operated this truck back in the day had the same problem. When all the trucks were ready to roll, we slowly made our way down Littleton Boulevard into downtown Littleton, where families lined up the street, many observing from under shady trees. Kids had firefighter hats on and typically did one of three things: stared, waved, or stared and waved. Each truck turned on their sirens and lights. It was loud at first, but eventually it became background noise to me. Eventually, the caravan of the trucks paused. A man, a parade observer, said he had been coming to the parade for 40 years. He said this year was particularly impressive because of the number of participating trucks. He said there were about three times as many trucks this year compared to previous years. I thought about how many parades I'd been to as a child. I remember wanting to be in the parades. I think the younger me would be smiling ear to ear if I knew back then this day would come. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. The June 14th fire truck parade spanned down Littleton Boulevard into downtown Littleton. Photo by Isabel Guzman. And the picture is of a couple fire trucks with a big sign above them that says Fire Muster. Thank you for joining us today for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.